Welcome back to the Boots on the Ground pod alongside Ben Conroy. I am Essex Thayer. If you have not listened to part one of our Hunter Salas is Back summer break episode of the Boots on the Ground pod, go ahead and listen to that on Apple, Spotify, or wherever else you listen. This is part two of that podcast. And before we get into the pod, just want to thank our sponsors over at Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every stat, matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online. The game starts here. Thank you again for joining us on the Boots on the Ground pod. Ben Conroy, Essex Thayer here. In the first portion of the podcast, which came out a few days ago, we talked about the big ticket item, the title of this podcast, Hunter Salas coming back to Wake Forest. We talked about some of the other important returners for this team, Cam Hildreth, Efton Reed, really important players. But now with the kind of the primetime returners, having discussed them, it's time to get into the guys who came into Wake Forest. Another Steve Forbes masterclass, it seems like it's going to be through the transfer portal. The first guy that committed was Trayvon Spillers, someone that Wake Forest knew very well because they had faced off against him only a couple weeks before. He was a forward from App State. He came to the Joel and played in that first round of the NIT. He was fantastic. He looked really, really strong in that game, scored 12 points, 5 for 7 from the field, and 10 rebounds. So a nice double-double at the Joel for Trayvon Spillers. And what do you know, a few weeks later, he is a Demon Deacon. So kind of finalizing some of that important transition at the forward spot, because you have Andrew Carr leaving for Kentucky, you have Zach Keller and Matthew Marsh leaving, you need to fill that space. And Wake Forest did it with a center that we'll get into in a little bit. But Trayvon Spillers was kind of that initial premier guy to fill that spot. And he is very, very talented, Ben. I know you've been watching a lot of film, so I'll let you break it down. But Trayvon Spillers, size, aggressiveness, he is that guy.
Yeah, absolutely. And Steve Forbes mentioned in his presser some of the boxes he was looking to check in additions from the portal this season. He said, I want this team to get tougher. I want this team to get more athletic, and I want them to have more depth and a little bit more size inside. And I think that Trayvon Spillers really captures a lot of what Steve Forbes is looking for, in addition to providing a really important veteran presence. Trayvon Spillers is going into his senior year. He's got years of college basketball under his belt, and he also got a ton of burn last season. He played 29 minutes a game, 12.8 points per game, 8.9 rebounds, 1.3 blocks on 60.4 field goal percentage. So watching film on Trayvon Spillers, here's what stood out to me. A, he's remarkably physical around the rim. He's great at clearing out space for himself, creating open passing lanes for people to get the ball to him inside, which I think is going to work really well with a guy like Tyler Johnson, who we'll talk about shortly. And then he's great at finishing through contact, and then he's a really athletic presence around the rim as a rim protector. So I think he's going to fit really nicely into that 3-4 spot. I'm not totally sure what his role on this team is going to be yet. Probably more likely playing at the 4, but he's got good size. He's athletic, he's physical, he's a veteran, and he's really, really efficient inside too, which I think is important to realize. And Steve Forbes talked about some of the struggles this team had from two-point range last year, about how, they took a lot of non-rim twos and the wrong twos. And I think Trayvon Spillers is a guy that can help Wake Forest sort of recenter itself on taking those efficient twos that Steve Forbes is looking for. Trayvon Spillers does not provide a lot of scoring options, from the three-point line, not a three-point shooter, not a huge mid-range shooter either. I saw him knock down a couple in the film that I watched, but primarily his usage is going to be crashing the boards on both ends. He's going to be an enormously important piece, I think, of this rebounding identity of Wake Forest, helping, prevent extra possessions on the defensive end and also, securing them for Wake Forest on the offensive end. And I think he's just going to be a bulldog around the rim for this Wake Forest team and provide that just veteran toughness that I know Steve Forbes is looking to sort of sharpen up in this group.
Yeah, that's something I thought Wake Forest lacked last year a little bit, was just that prime physicality. You had Efton at the five, but otherwise, I just didn't think they got it from the Matthew Marshes and the Zach Kellers as much as you would have wanted to. And I know they put their all into it. And Andrew Carr, that just wasn't really as much of his game just because of his size. I thought Andrew Carr, obviously, a great player, but the physicality wasn't as much there. You have it in spades here in Trayvon Spillers. As you said, Ben, he's a guy who gets to the hoop. He is that bulldog. I mean, go back. If you haven't, go back and watch the game where App State played at Wake Forest. Great basketball game, great environment. One I won't forget for a while. But Trayvon Spillers is a guy who just goes, he gets rebounds, and he gets to the hoop. He uses his body to his advantage, whether it's getting the ball or putting the ball in the hoop. He is a guy that I feel like Wake Forest needs to complement Efton Reed in the front court. Now you have two guys with size who can bully ball you to the hoop to either get the ball or get the bucket. And so I think that's a really important part of this Wake Forest team, because now you can be not only a little more athletic in the sense that you can go up and get things, by those things I mean rebounds, but you can also go and get buckets in the paint in ways that I don't think Wake Forest could do as widespread as in years past. I mean, Steve Forbes talked about it. He said that he really is just that physical guy. He has great energy. He said he's got a motor, can score around the basket, can defend, rebound. He even referred to him from some past players. Like Trayvon Spillers was a guy that C. Forbes was very, very excited about, and I think is going to be a very important player in this lineup. And just one more point, Ben, and I know you were talking about, you know, three versus four, and I think that you were right in saying that I think his primary position is going to be that four spot. I think that is where he's going to line up. But also, as we get into more of the guys through the transfer portal, I think there is going to be some versatility there. Like, you can move some things around, which is what I loved about Wake Forest in 2022, the 21-22 season with Jake LaRavia and all those guys, was that that lineup was super versatile. And I think this lineup, you'll see something similar, where you can go three guards, but you can also transition to something bigger, where maybe you have either Trayvon Spillers or Omaha Ballou at the three, have Trayvon at the four, Efton Reed at the five. You can move things around. You can shift, and you can either make yourself more athletic with guards, or you can make yourself very, very big and very tough to play against from a defensive perspective if you're going up against Wake Forest defense and you have to face a former five-star All-American at the three, a big physical guy at the four, and then a tree trunk at the five in Efton Reed. So there is going to be that versatility, and I think that along with depth was something that Wake Forest needed, and Steve Forbes was very intent on finding in the transfer portal. So that started with Trayvon Spillers, Wake Forest's first signing of the portal. Second guy that I want to call out, I'm going to go in order of what Steve Forbes talked about on Monday. He talked about Devin Cosby from Alabama. Didn't play a ton. That was a name that, to be blatantly honest with you, and I worked very hard to kind of stay up to date in the portal, was working sources, all that. Wake Forest stays quiet. Cosby was the one name that did not come up for me until he announced his commitment. That was the one that I did not see coming, so I did not know a whole lot about him going into it. The other guys, I knew that those announcements were coming. I did not know about Cosby. He, in that first year, his freshman year at Alabama, played sparingly, played in a little over 20 games, I believe. Yeah, 22 games, and did not play at all in the NCAA tournament or in Alabama's loss in the SEC tournament to Florida. But he did have some starring moments against Ole Miss, scored 15 points all on three-pointers, which is something to certainly write home about. He also scored 12 against Eastern Kentucky. He had some early standout games in non-con, played well against Arkansas State, Mercer, South Alabama, what have you. Didn't play a ton of minutes, but when he did, he showed what a threat he can be from three-point range, Ben. And people have been making comparisons to Damari Monsanto a little bit, that he's a guy that's a little bit plug and play, get the ball in his hand, three-point score. Like, and that's what Wake Forest didn't have with Damari Monsanto last year, unfortunately, because of that injury and how much it impacted him. And now they're going to try and maybe recreate something like him with Devin Cosby.
Yes, I'm excited about Devin Cosby after watching some film on him. I think Damari Monsanto is potentially a very good comp for him. When I watched film on him, a couple of things jumped out. First of all, I saw him make threes from just about every single spot on the court around the arc. So I think he's got the potential to really put it in the hoop from just about anywhere. He has great range. A lot of his threes were several steps behind the line. Also reminds me of Damari Monsanto a little bit. But the best thing by far about Devin Cosby is that he is an outstanding catch and shoot 3-point threat. And that if you get the ball in his shooting pocket, he has the ability to quicken up his release when he needs to. And he is going to bury you if you leave him open on the catch and shoot. And I think that's going to be an important part of Wake Forest offense. Steve Forbes talked about how he wants this team to shoot more threes. I imagine a guy like Devin Cosby, when he's out there, is going to have the green light and just say, if you get the shot and it's in rhythm, take it. And we'll have guys on the boards that can cover for you if you miss. But even so, we trust that you're going to make some. And I expect him to have a big role, probably off the bench for this Wake Forest team, I would imagine. I don't see him starting, at least not right away. Obviously, things change. If he turns out to be an 18-point a game scorer from three, who knows what could happen. But even so, he's a really, really exciting guy. He shot about 34.4% from three last year and not a ton of usage. And that's the case with him, and that's the case with Omaha Ballou, who you mentioned. Guys that didn't get a ton of usage last year. And if there's one thing Steve Forbes has been historically good at, it's that finding these guys that flash just a little bit in programs where they're maybe overlooked or don't fit in the best way, and finding what works about them and then cutting them loose in Wake Forest offense. So I think Devin Cosby has a real possibility to do that. And I'm excited to see him have some potentially really, really good and historic shooting performances in the Joel, because like you mentioned, I can't remember what team you just said, but he had 15 points in one game all off threes. So he's that guy that can get you five, six threes a night, which historically has been an important, key for Wake Forest to have on their offense. The guy who can just light it up and provide an instant spark. I think that is going to be Devin Cosby's role.
I also see him coming off the bench, especially to start the season. But I do want to say with a certain caveat, when I was envisioning the Wake Forest lineup this season, and there's a lot of talent. There's still a lot of room to figure things out, and that's going to happen in summer ball. But I'm going to be blatantly honest and say I did not foresee Devin Cosby having a ton of minutes this coming season. I thought it'd be mid-single digits, like 5, 6, 7 minutes a game. I think I have very much undersold how much Devin Cosby is going to play this year, especially after the comments Steve Forbes made about him on Monday. He talked about how good of a player is his size, how much bigger he's gotten since high school, that A, he's a player that Steve Forbes recruited before he went to Alabama. So they've been keeping an eye on him for some time. But there was no getting around it. Steve Forbes said his final point on Devin Cosby was he'll be a guy that's going to play a lot of minutes. His words there. So, well, right when he said that, Ben, I was like, okay, I might have been wrong on that assumption about Devin Cosby. Maybe he's going to play a lot more minutes than I thought. And now that we talk about it and having looked at the film a little bit and also the role that he's probably going to play for this team, that Damari Monsanto role, pairing up with Parker Fredrickson as two of the main 3-point kind of ringers for this team, not to mention Cam Hildreth and Hunter Salas. But I do see him coming off the bench and sometimes providing that spark a little bit like Damari used to do in what was it, the 22-23 season. Like I remember he came off the bench the home game against UNC, hit three straight 3-pointers, forced that timeout, and the Joel went bonkers like I hadn't seen before until the Duke game this past season. That Damari role that kind of existed, I think I can see Devin Cosby filling it a little bit. So that probably means he's going to play more minutes, or at least a healthy amount of minutes, probably coming off the bench for the Deacons this coming season. I'm really, really excited to see what he's got. Didn't play a whole lot at Alabama. Obviously, that team was stacked. Totally understandable why he didn't play for them as much as a freshman. The next guy on the list is Omaha Ballou, and he's a little bit different from the rest of the guys in the transfer portal because he is similar to what we saw out of Hunter Salas in the sense that He is a former five-star McDonald's All-American. Steve Forbes used to love to say that he didn't really go after the McDonald's All-Americans. He went after the Burger King All-Americans, which are a little bit further down on the list. Now, Steve Forbes is fully going after McDonald's All-Americans because he can access them now, and they are great players. They were great high school players. And as Steve Forbes always says, with some of these guys like Hunter Salas, who was a McDonald's All-American and then had a struggling beginning to his college career, you do not unbecome an All-American. And so Omaha Ballou did not play a ton last year for an equally stacked Iowa State team. But, you know, now in his sophomore season, coming to Wake as a former five-star McDonald's All-American, it's kind of that, let's see what Steve Forbes can cook up with another guy who has shown he can be a very, very good basketball player, Ben.
Yeah, I like Omaha Ballou's game a lot. And that I was going to mention that quote about not being able to unbecome an All-American if you didn't, because I think it's so important here. And just because guys get kind of overshadowed for a year or parked on the bench for a year, that doesn't mean that all of that natural talent and raw ability goes away. Sometimes maybe it means that that confidence goes away or that game experience goes away a little bit, but Steve Forbes is better at bringing that stuff back to the surface than just about anybody in the country. And I think Omaha Ballou is another opportunity for him to do exactly that. This kid is 6'8", 225, great size. Obviously didn't get a ton of minutes last year, but showed great athleticism, ability to finish inside, more of that size, more of that physicality, more of that aggression on the interior that Steve Forbes is looking for. And I think this kid just has a really, really high ceiling. He's young. I think he's itching for an opportunity. I expect Steve Forbes to get him right in the offseason. And I think he's got the ability to just make some freakish athletic plays for this Wake Forest team. And clearly he had that spark coming out of high school. The question is, will he be able to get that spark back? I think yes. If history tells us anything with Steve Forbes, yes, this kid will find his way and will be able to fill the role that Steve Forbes has envisioned for him. It just kind of remains to be seen what that role is going to be.
And I think it's going to take a little bit more time to figure that out. He, like Devin Cosby, both of them had some injuries that cropped up at the beginning of the offseason. He hurt his foot back in early May. Devin Cosby also dealing with that foot injury. They're both, per Steve Forbes, going to be fine going live probably that mid to end of July area. And Wake Forest especially helped out by the fact that, as Steve Forbes said, they're going to go a little bit lighter at the beginning of the summer because you're dealing with so many veteran players that you don't need to run it as hard at the beginning. So Devin Cosby and Omaha Ballou both going to have their shot. He said, you know, he'll be fine. He's in a boot right now, but he's shooting. You know, there's that talent, and that talent hasn't gone away. So didn't have as much time at Iowa State, but let's see kind of what Steve Forbes can cook up with a guy like that there. You got some veteran presence in a guard transfer in Tyler Johnson coming over, an intra-ACC transfer coming from Louisville to Winston-Salem to play for the Deacs. Tyler Johnson, really interesting guard, Bennett, and I think someone who can complement the offense really well. So go ahead. I know you've watched a ton of film. You watched a lot of film, I know, especially on Tyler Johnson. So I'll give you the floor on him.
Yeah, I love the way Tyler Johnson plays basketball. And I think it's really hard to gauge his ceiling because he was part of, for lack of a better term, a dumpster fire of a Louisville program that really struggled to find its way. But even you look at the guys who can find a way to shine even despite those circumstances, and Tyler Johnson is one of those guys. As a freshman coming in, you know, he's a small kid, 6 foot, 160 pounds, but played over 23 minutes a game last year, 8.7 points, 1.8 rebounds, and 3.6 assists, which is a number I'm going to get to. The only problem with this game is he struggled with efficiency a little bit. Not a great three-point shooter, showed the ability to knock one down every once in a while, but I believe he was below 20% from three, and he was just shy of 37.5% from the field. So that's the struggle. That's the area that I think is possibly a reflection of just how broken that Louisville program was. But when I watched Tyler Johnson's greatest hits, as you were, here's what I saw. Exceedingly quick hands, He's one of those defenders that can really make a ball handler think as there's crossing half court. A lot of the steals I saw him pick up were just clean pickpockets, you know, as he's stretching out and guarding a guy right near half court and getting breakaway layups. So I hope Steve Forbes lets him loose and lets him get some of that pressure. I assume he will. And Tyler Johnson showed a great ability to do that without committing cheap reach-in fouls, which I think is going to be great for this team. He also has great speed. I think he's going to be the fastest Wake Forest player since Tyree Appleby, first player I've seen since Ty to play with that kind of speed, and great court vision, especially in transition. He has a great ability to get into the lane, then look for shooters out on the perimeter, which I think is going to pair really well with Devin Cosby, probably coming off the bench and playing in that reserve unit. I imagine Tyler Johnson and feeding both him and Parker Fredrickson a lot of really good passes and opening things up on the perimeter in that way. And just the ability to feed the big men down low as well. He's great at, for a guy as small as he is, I thought he was really good at identifying passing lanes, and he'll be able to feed, you know, be it Efton Reed, be it Trayvon Spillers, be it Omaha Ballou, whoever's down in the middle. I think Tyler Johnson is going to play a really key role in the facilitating aspect of the offense. And he can get to the hoop and lay it up a little bit too. He's really, really athletic for a 6-footer, threw down several dunks last year.
Yeah, I'm with you on a lot of that. As you said, the shooting numbers on the surface are a little bit concerning, but I think his archetype as a player was exactly what Steve Forbes was looking for out of the portal. He talked about it on Monday, just how much he needed the ball to get into Hunter Salas's hands, I think was a really, really big thing for him this upcoming season. And so you need a facilitator on the offensive end, and his assist numbers are fantastic. The film of him as a ball handler and a ball distributor is fantastic. I think he's going to be a great guy. He might end up being a starter. I don't 100% see him being a starter out of the gate just because of Hunter maybe as a point guard, and you don't know what, you know, Tyler Johnson is a point guard too. So you just don't know what that looks like. Hunter isn't going to play the entire game at point guard. You might see some shifting down, but he's absolutely got to play some minutes at point guard. So there is going to be that shift. Whether Tyler Johnson starts or not, there's going to be a lot of minutes going to him there. And I think he is exactly what Wake Forest needed from a guard perspective. They needed someone who was going to share the ball a little bit more than what they had in the past. C. Forbes didn't name names, but some things that he was alluding to in the past with ball distribution that didn't necessarily happen as much as Wake Forest would have liked it to happen. They're hoping they can get that now out of Tyler Johnson, a guy who can shoot and can go up and get buckets, as you said, Ben, but someone who can get the ball in the hands of guys who need to have it in their hands. The Hunter Salas's, the Cam Hildreths, the Parker Fredrickson and Devin Cosby behind the three, getting into the post to Spillers and Ballou and Efton, a guy who can facilitate the offense and let other guys ball. And then when, you know, the opportunity is there to go get your points, go get your bucket. So, you know, I think people were turned off to this just because anything, as you said, associated with Louisville is like being associated with the plague. But I think there's a lot to like here for Tyler Johnson. And once you get over the fact that he played for, you know, assistant Danny Manning and the Cardinals from Wake Forest perspective, then you can get over it and he'll be a factor for sure.
Yeah, I think one of the things Wake Forest has been missing off the bench in recent years, obviously you had that in, you know, Wake Forest has struggled to find depth at true point guard and to have like a true backup point guard coming off the bench at times. And I think that Tyler Johnson can be that guy. He just needs to make that efficiency leap and sort of probably shake off some of the bad habits that he might have picked up in a Louisville program that really struggled and was dealing with a lot of external nonsense. Hopefully now, you know, he's a young kid, obviously, just coming off his freshman year, gives him a chance to focus up, get into a program with a more winning culture and a more business-like culture, and be able to contribute, you know, against opponents that he's familiar with playing. It's an intra, you know, played in the ACC last year, get ready to just really play an important role in this Wake Forest team.
And then the last transfer, the fifth transfer out of the portal for Wake Forest this season. This one I see being a little bit more of a developmental piece, but I think a guy who is going to have an important role in this team, especially when you look at the bigs, you don't have a true backup center. This is going to be that guy, and it's Churchill Abass from DePaul. He played a lot last year. He played in 30 games as a freshman and started in a fair amount of them. So he was kind of that everyday player for DePaul, a very, very bad, as I'm looking at DePaul team. We knew DePaul was bad, but and Louisville was bad too, but not good. But anyways, a big guy, 6'9", 250, played pretty much every game as a freshman, had some really good rebounding rates. You know, a big guy, he can get to the bucket really well, was 58.5% from two. You know, that effective field goal rate, well over 55% at 57, nearing 58. A lot of development that can still happen with a guy like this. I think for someone that you can have behind Efton Reed, especially if he takes that additional year, you know, that's very up in the air. We're looking way into the future with that, Ben, but having a true physical big that you can look at and if Efton gets in the foul trouble, you need to have someone that you can trust to go with, at least from a size perspective, to handle some of the bigs that you see in the ACC. I don't think Wake Forest had that effectively. And now I think they had the chance to get that rectified with Churchill Abass.
I agree. I think he's a little raw. And again, I think he's just coming from a broken program. Like you said, DePaul was one of the few teams in the country, maybe worse than Louisville last year. They called in Chris Holtman to sort of play cleanup crew there. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But when I was watching him, I didn't get the chance to watch a ton of film on Churchill Abass, but he's got nice touch around the rim. He's physical. He's got good size. Again, maybe doesn't have the height of a true backup center, but I think that he can learn from a guy like Efton Reed. And I think that there's going to be a chance for him to earn some minutes on this team. Because like you said, with Efton Reed, there might be games where he can only play 15 minutes. There were plenty of those games last year. Somebody's going to have to go out there and, you know, fill that gap. And last year, the areas where Wake struggled with depth on the interior was, I think Matt Marsh lacked a lot of the ability to move laterally effectively and get into better position on the glass. I think he missed some key rebounds, some key spots. Obviously, gave the team a lot of great minutes, but at the same time, I think that was an area that Steve Forbes is looking to address. And I do think Abass has better touch around the rim than, you know, a guy like Matthew Marsh. Obviously, Abass got a lot of minutes last year too, which I think is helpful. I think just to, you know, have that usage, that history of usage, and to be efficient at it. Like you said, I think his, you know, field goal percentage was nearing 58%. But yeah, I think that there's going to be a role for this guy. I just think that there's a lot of important pieces on the interior that Steve Forbes is going to have to learn how to shuffle around and swap in and out effectively. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
I think that's going to be the one thing where we're a little more unsure. Like, we are in a little bit of a holding pattern with Omaha Ballou as well. But again, McDonald's, five-star All-American, you have that. Churchill Abass, you're kind of just feeling that one out a little bit more. But Steve Forbes did have some really, really good things to say about him. He said he's really excited about him, that he has great potential, plays really hard, very athletic, physical, and strong. Obviously, the things that he was looking for out of the portal, the things that he felt Wake Forest needed. I think a lot of us felt that Wake Forest needed. And you talked about it a little bit there, Ben. You mentioned the minutes. And something that Steve Forbes mentioned kind of stood out to me, and I went back and looked at it. He said, I got a lot of friends in the Big East that spoke very, very highly of him. So as a freshman, you're playing in the Big East. You're playing a lot of games. You're playing a lot of minutes. Hell, you're playing for a god-awful team. But at the same time, at least you're getting experience against what I would call the best of the best conference in the country. You have the back-to-back champion. I think the Big East is the best conference in the country. And so you look at it, he went 22 minutes against Villanova, 24 against Seton Hall, 20 against St. John's, 27 against Butler, 25 against Marquette. He played against UConn 24 minutes. He went 4-for-4 against UConn. So not bad, my man. I mean, DePaul got waxed by Connecticut, a 36-point loss at home to UConn, but he played 24 minutes and he went 100% from the floor. So credit to him. He scored 15% of DePaul's points that night. 23 against St. John's, 25 against Xavier. The list goes on and on. He played, you know, more than half the game as a freshman against some of the best teams in the best conference in the country. So as a freshman, he's not going to come into Wake Forest, you know, now as a sophomore, but saying last year as a freshman, he's not coming into Wake Forest as some guy that's, you know, a little green and you don't know what he looks like on a college system. Like, you know what Omaha Ballou was as a high schooler. You don't really know what he's like in college. You've gotten a good idea of what Churchill Abass is in college, and you've seen that he's had that development year almost already at DePaul against really, really good competition. Now you get him into Wake Forest, get him into a much better system with much better talent around him. Don't have to put all that weight on him as a starter. He's learning from a great guy like Efton Reed, who knows how to play the game the right way. And hopefully you see the fruit of that come out on the back end, where he can provide some important minutes this coming season, backing up Efton Reed, again, providing that size profile the Wake Forest needs. And then down the line, you're hoping that this isn't a guy who leaves Wake Forest for somewhere else. And you look in a year or two and you're like, here's a starter on one of the best teams in the ACC going at it in Churchill Abass. So I think that's a really important pickup for Steve Forbes. It's a guy you absolutely needed roster-wise, depth-wise, size-wise. But maybe down the line, if we still got this podcast rolling in, you know, 2 or 3 years, maybe, you know, 1 or 2 years, we're going to be looking back on this and saying Steve Forbes saw something right. You know, another one of those diamond in the rough pickups from Steve Forbes.
Yeah, I think there's very much the potential for that to happen. I think that's a big part of the way that Steve Forbes recruits, is that there are some guys that are not going to be able to play 25 minutes a game right when they transfer here. And I think that Churchill Abass is kind of the definition of that guy. Efton Reed is, you know, the force in the interior. But at the same time, like you said, Churchill Abass has proven that he can be effective against, you know, the heavyweights in college basketball. And he's going to be facing competitive teams night in and night out again in the ACC. So, you know, we'll see what happens with this kid. I liked a lot of what I saw from him on film when, you know, from the highlights, showed the ability to, you know, showed some good touch around the basket, showed the ability to play physical, which I know is an important thing that Steve Forbes is looking for, and was able to carve out a role on, you know, a Big East team as a freshman, and was able to be effective on a team that was pretty bad. So again, I think you look for the guys that shine even when the situations around them are not great. I think Churchill Abass kind of fits that mold again.
And then we've got two more guys just from an incoming standpoint. One is a freshman, Juke Harris, more local guy. I mean, we saw him at almost every single Wake Forest basketball game, sitting behind the bench this past season, set all kinds of, you know, scoring marks and records and what have you in North Carolina, a great player that Steve Forbes worked very hard to get out of high school. It'll be interesting. We don't need to chat about him too much, but I think one of the big things that people were really excited about, Ben, was the fact that Steve Forbes is saying he's now over 6'7", and he's been more of kind of a guard type. So if he's athletic like a guard and he's 6'7", watch out. I think he's kind of been one of those forgotten guys for Wake Forest just because it's been such a transfer heavy school and people are focusing on the transfers. But I think Juke Harris is going to have a place in that Wake Forest lineup this year. And he's another guy that hopefully you look at down the line and is just another one of those great Steve Forbes finds, because this guy was money in high school. He was so, so good. If you go back and look at his film, just an absolute dog. And I think it's going to be a gauntlet to get minutes on this Wake Forest team this year. I think they've got just so much more depth and talent than they have in the past. So hopefully there's a place for Juke Harris to get some minutes, get some time, but at the very least, he's going to be getting into college and showing off and learning and just getting better. And then the second guy is someone we don't know yet. Steve Forbes alluded to the fact that, so with all this transfer movement and the draft, all that, what have you, Wake Forest has got 11 scholarship players signed up. So there's 12 and 13 open. Steve Forbes said they've got number 12 in hand. They have a commitment in hand. We don't know who it is yet. He's not saying, which basically means they're probably giving the guy his time to figure out when to announce and get all that stuff squared away. We don't know who he is. I've got some ideas of position-wise what I think it might be. I personally think it's going to be a big, but it's going to be a developmental guy, more likely than not, out of high school. But those are the two incoming guys, I guess you could say, not from the portal, is Juke Harris, and then our mystery man that we'll find out sometime soon. But those guys, I think, are just as, you know, important in the long run, Ben, for the future of Wake Forest basketball. You got a guy in Juke Harris who's going to play possibly a good bit this season as a freshman. And then you've got a developmental guy who's in the future cards for Wake Forest basketball.
Yeah, Juke Harris, from what Steve Forbes has said about him, is doing all the things that you want a freshman to do. Forbes said he's just lifting like crazy, working out like crazy, probably trying to address one of the things that high school recruits often struggle with, which is being strong enough and having those physical tools to compete at the college level. So it looks like Juke Harris is working hard to, you know, address that. We know, like you said, he's been all in on Wake Forest for a long time. Local kid, always in the Joel, coming to watch the team. Kind of just a freak basketball archetype, and apparently still growing, which is a fun thing to learn for Wake Forest fans. But I do hope this kid gets some minutes, because I think he'll be fun to watch. And I think Steve Forbes has said, buy your tickets now. This team is going to be a fun team to watch. And you've got like guys like Juke Harris who are going to be battling for minutes and for the chance to even get out on the court on a team like this. So it'll be fun. And we'll see who our mystery man is too. I couldn't give you the slightest inclination as to who or what position it might be. So we'll see.
I'm intrigued to see, like, I have a vibe that it could be a Bobby Klintman or a Triple M type out of Europe. Potentially. I'm not sure. I have no intel on this. So we'll see. I'm intrigued to figure out what it is. But Steve Forbes has kind of said that it is going to be more of a developmental type, probably someone we're not going to see on the court, especially once things get toward the conference season. Just two more points I want to quickly nail out here before we bid you all a good evening. And coming off of the Steve Forbes show on or not really show, but in a way, maybe a show, but his presser on Monday. And one of them is the scheduling piece. So confirming a few things. So he did confirm that Skip Prosser Classic is going to be renewed with Xavier this season. So that's, I think, a really big thing for Wake Forest basketball. You talk about all the time, these quads and the metrics being all good and everything like that. Wake Forest needs bigger opportunities against better basketball teams in the non-con. I've talked so much about that. I'm a huge believer in forcing your hand when it comes to scheduling and forcing the committee to, they do not have a choice. And Steve Forbes kind of said that too. You can't play the bubble game anymore, because they will find a way to get you off the bubble the wrong way. Like, there's always going to be bad spots on the bubble. And so Wake Forest, I'm in total agreement with Coach Forbes here that you got to get off the bubble and be like Clemson, where your non-con was so good and your conference schedule or results were so mediocre, but they couldn't do anything about it. They had to let you in because you beat Alabama, Iowa State. The list goes on and on. Wake's got to do the same thing. So you've got Xavier. And then the big ticket item from that schedule-wise was announcing that Wake Forest is going to play the University of Michigan with a new coach, Dusty May, from FAU. They're going to play Michigan in Greensboro this year at the Coliseum, and then have a return game in Detroit next year. So that's really big. That's another, and the reason they're doing it in Greensboro, again, the metrics. Why is it not in the Joel? It's in Greensboro because it's a neutral court for both teams, better chance at a certain quad one. Same thing with going to Detroit. It's not in Ann Arbor, more certain quad one. The coaches are thinking about it, and it's going to be great when you know, Greensboro isn't that far from Winston-Salem. It's not going to be in the Joel, but I think it's going to be important for both of these teams to get yourself and have another de facto quad one opportunity. And it's a great team, Ben. An exciting new coach in Dusty May off of FAU, which he took them to the Final Four 2 years ago. Big stuff. I think that's a huge scheduling move for the Deacs.
Yeah, that's a good one. Always love to see Wake fighting to secure strong neutral court opponents. I know they got a multi-team event as well, where they're going to be down in Florida with Wichita State, Minnesota. Who's the third team?
That would be the Florida Gators. Chomp chomp.
Probably should have, you know, connected the dots on that one, considering they're going down to Disney.
It's not in Gainesville though. It's Disney. They're going to go do what's one of those rides, like the Circle of Life or whatever. They're going to go.
It's a Wonderful Life, I think is what you're talking about.
It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah, they're that Space Mountain, all that jazz. Rocking
I would love to see Efton Reed on Space Mountain. That'd be a hilarious image.
That I think Steve Forbes in a teacup would also be a new favorite for me personally. I'd love to see Steve in the teacup. But yeah, they're going down to Disney. It's that ESPN like invitational multi-team event. It's kind of messed up. They had some issues, I guess, kind of figuring out the scheduling wise. So they had it where it's 4-4. They've got four major conference teams and then another side with four non-majors, except they could not find a fourth team. So Wichita State, welcome to major conference basketball. You're joining Florida, a Minnesota team that might not be very good at all. So Wake Forest had really high hopes of what that MTE was going to be. I mean, historically, like last year, that was a great MTE. Like Iowa State was there. I think Bama was there. I think that was where Clemson did their business early season, was at that MTE.
Yeah, you might be right.
I'm not 100% sure on that, but that MTE had great teams, really good teams, and it just did not materialize this year. Kind of a bummer, and Wake Forest can't really back out anymore because there's no more spots to go. So probably not the metric stuff that you would want to see in that MTE. But hey, maybe you go and you win a bunch of ball games and run the score up. Maybe Florida will be good, but Minnesota, Wichita State, possibly not. And then the last one that I'll mention, this came out today on Wednesday. This podcast will be coming out on Thursday, but SEC ACC Challenge came out today. Wake Forest making a return trip to somewhere they saw a few years ago and also a place that Steve Forbes knows very well as an assistant. They're going down to College Station to play Texas A&M. That is going to be a bona fide quad one opportunity. A&M, a pretty constant fixture in the NCAA tournament. I believe they were a 9 seed this past year. Wake is actually excited to be on the road because it gives you more of that metric that you're looking for in a certified quad one. So the schedule is the schedule and everything's not out quite yet, but I think there's some good opportunities here. That Michigan game is going to be massive. I'm going to find every way in my body to try and get down to Greensboro for that game so I can go watch the Deeks play the Wolverines, because I think that's going to be a super good game. I think Xavier is going to be really interesting as well. A&M, there are some good – and that MTE could end up being better than it's probably looking in my mind, especially if you get matched up with the Gators. So the scheduling looks good. The last thing I want to get into here, Ben, before we say goodbye, is expectations. Josh Graham asked a question to Steve Forbes about, you know, you look at these teams from the ACC that have done some pretty sensational things. You have NC State go to the Final Four out of absolutely nowhere last year. You have a coach that's probably going to get fired in Kevin Keats. Like they were not a good basketball team for a portion of the year. And then suddenly they go make their way into the NCAA tournament by winning the ACC tournament in DC. And then they just keep winning in the NCAA tournament all the way to the Final Four. Honestly, one of the most fantastic runs I've ever watched. I know Wake fans don't especially like NC State. I don't particularly care for them either, but you could not root for the Wolfpack. I mean, it was that was such a fun basketball team. DJ Burns, you know, you couldn't not root for them, but to my point here, what NC State did, and Wake Forest is yet to make the NCAA tournament under Steve Forbes. He's now entering, correct me if I'm wrong here, but he's entering year 5 at Wake Forest and still looking to make that NCAA tournament. Wake Forest has not made the round of 64 in, I believe, over a decade. And so how do you get there? What are your expectations? You know, there is the excitement around this team. Josh was kind of asking, is your hope and your goal to make it into the tournament, or is it more? And Steve Forbes alluding to NC State, Clemson, some mid-majors who have done great stuff, going to the Final Four, Loyola, Chicago, what have you, in the past. And he just goes, why not? Like, why not us, essentially? So that answered it pretty quickly, that there is buzz already around this team. And I think the buzz is going to get even larger once it airs out a little bit more that Hunter Salas is back. I mean, there was that huge buzz around it. But as we get closer to the season with Hunter Salas back in Winston-Salem, there is going to be a ton of buzz on this team, Ben. And so I think the why not factor, before we say goodbye here, I just want to talk a little bit about expectations, because I know we have expectations and we're pretty quick to the draw when expectations are not met. We'll call them out. So I think, and we'll really nail them down once we get closer to the season. But when you start to look at this team, Ben, you got to feel like some stuff's got to happen finally for Wake Forest basketball this year.
Yeah, what I'm looking for from this team, and Steve Forbes talked about it, he said, basically, I'm tired of the bubble. I'm tired of the bubble because when you're on the bubble, it makes every single game life or death. He talked about how he made a comment that was really interesting to me. He said, last year, there was a lot of pressure surrounding our team when it got into February and we were on the bubble and constantly in this national conversation of, will they get in? Will they not get in? He said he did a lot of work to alleviate that pressure from some guys on the team who weren't necessarily dealing with it very well. So what I would like to see out of this Wake Forest team is, first of all, I want them to just be more consistent. There was stretches last year where they struggled to play a complete 40 minutes for so long. So many times on the road, they went into the half with a lead and just blew it all away in the second half, having in some really key games down the stretch. But even down the stretch last year, they went away from what they were doing well, which is being good at home. They lost to Georgia Tech at home in an absolutely heartbreaking fashion that kind of felt like the nail in the coffin. I mean, there are still opportunities after that, but there was just Steve Forbes said it simply. He said they had a lot of chances to win games late and they just didn't do it. So that's what I'm looking for to change, is I want this team to have more of a killer instinct. I want them to beat up on the teams they should, which they did a good job of last year. And I want them to be a presence on the road as well. I expect them to continue that level of dominance at home. You know, maybe they won't be as absurdly dominant as they've been the past couple of years, but they need to maintain that while going out and showing the grit and the determination and the identity to get things done on the road. And I think they need to show the resiliency to not, for lack of a better word, let things unravel when the first bout of adversity hits you. Because I think that happened too a lot of times, is they would come out of a half and miss a couple shots in a row, and just then their defense would start to suffer. And it would be sort of this chain reaction that would lead to this collapses that would leave you and I sort of scratching our heads watching these games. But I think what you get when you put all that together is this should be a team that glides into the NCAA tournament, I think, is the expectation around the program. I think it should be the expectation around the fan base. I know it's the expectation from Steve Forbes, who has had, it's felt like he's had all the pieces there to get this team into the promised land for the past couple years, and they've been unable to do so. I think now is the time that Steve Forbes has to capitalize.
I really like what you did in that before you talked about actual material results. You talked a lot about what goes into those results. Like, the away games just have to be better on the road, the physicality, kind of the mentality. I really love that you brought that stuff up, because I think people are going to talk about results, like results driven things, and that is basketball, that's sports, it's a results driven business, but there are factors that drive you to those results. And so I really appreciate that you brought those up. And since you did, I'll just go straight to the results, and I'm gonna follow you a lot. This team has to make the NCAA tournament unless something absolutely catastrophic happens, knock on wood, but this team's got to go to the tournament. There's so much talent. You have Hunter Salas back. There aren't really any excuses anymore. And so, I mean, we'll talk about this more as we get into the season, and especially as we're into it, if things start to go downhill, then you'll sure as hell hear a lot about it from us. But this team's got to go. This team's got to dance. Steve Forbes has finally got a team that can really do it, that should do it, that absolutely needs to do it. This program needs to go back. And so I think the expectation absolutely is that you need to go to the NCAA tournament. This team needs to, as you said, glide in. This team needs to be a single seed, single digit seed team in the NCAA tournament next year. No more bubble nonsense, no more worrying, no more fear. And I think that's going to hopefully come from non-con, and then I think this team can dominate ACC basketball next year. Duke and UNC are going to be good, but otherwise not as much sure things in the conference. Wake Forest, and people have talked about it, people at our Field of 68, people in college basketball have talked about it. Wake Forest could absolutely be the number three team in the ACC next year, the number three, number two team in the ACC. So this team needs to go. This team needs to go to the dance. That's a need. A want is for them to then go do something in the dance. And perhaps that comes over time, because I think getting to the NCAA tournament will mean so much for the further development of the program. I think you got to get over that hump. And then Wake Forest is kind of there and can go from there. So get to the tournament. But I'd love to see them do something, because I think this team is really – this team's going to be really, really good. And so get to the tournament, and then we'll go from there. But we're in agreement, and I'm probably most of the fan base and the coaching staff, the players, everybody, get to the NCAA tournament, and then let's make it happen. From all of us here at the Boots on the Ground pod, thank you so much for joining us for – a long edition of the pod. We split it into two, so to make it a little bit more digestible for you guys. But I'm going to be honest, we filmed this in one take. So Ben and I have been sitting in our seats for a while. We thank you for joining us on the ride. We have missed you all so much. We miss being on the pod, and we can't wait to get onto it more as we get a little bit closer to tip off in early November. But thank you again for joining us. We'll see you all soon on the Boots on the Ground pod. Thanks.